This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run, 9:19 on Monday, December the 20th. Shifting our attention to Japan, because last Friday, Bank of Japan announced that it will keep its key short-term interest rates unchanged at 0.1%, whilst for the 10-year bond yield staying pat at 0%.
As for the deadline for its pandemic relief loan that was supposed to be March 2022, the Bank of Japan has extended it by 6 months. This is to ensure funds continue to channel to small firms. However, as for the bigger firms, there has been a decision to slow purchases of corporate bonds and commercial paper to pre-pandemic levels from April onwards. So how will Japan equity markets react to this? And in the year ahead, can the Nikkei 225 surpass the 31-year high achieved back in mid-September this year?
So for answers to that question and more, we speak to Chen Ye Kwok, who is the Deputy Head of Asia-Pacific Equities and Head of Japan Equities at Aberdeen Standard Investments. Thank you for joining us on the line. Now, BOJ kept rates flat, but will be dialing back its COVID-19 support a little bit. Do you think the economy is ready for this?
Hi, good morning. Yes, I think the economy should be fine in dealing with some of the recent proposal from the BOJ, primarily because if you look at some of the dialing back in terms of these measures, the borrowing costs remain pretty low in Japan, and they are continue to extend a few of these measures for another 6 months or so. So what we're seeing is that, you know, the hardest hit sectors in Japan, as with many parts of the world, are in, you know, the service sectors, you know, things like restaurants, hotels, leisure facilities, you know. So And what's positive at this point is that the economy is slowly opening up, right? COVID rates are down very, very sharply. Vaccination rates, you know, the proportion of the population with double shot vaccine is north of 70%. Okay, so what we are likely to see is that, you know, as consumers get more confident, economy should start to pick up. And, you know, with that, you know, things like GDP and et cetera, you know, should be improving. And, you know, and let's not forget that Japan has a very large domestic economy, right? If you look at, you know, leisure facilities like Tokyo Disney, more than 90% of visitors there are domestic. So if you know, now with COVID infections, at a very low rate, we expect to see some recovery in the economy.
So the signs look good, and Bloomberg has been forecasting the GDP for 2022 will come in at about 3.4%. Achievable?
Well, again, I believe that, you know, confidence is important, right? And consumption needs to be strong. And, you know, let's not forget that with GDP, consumption makes up somewhere between 50 to 60% of Japan's GDP. So consumption is important, you know, and alongside that, well, that's one thing we'll be watching. You know, the other thing that's the other industry that's very important to Japan is autos. And in the last year, we've seen component shortages, we've seen raw material costs go up significantly, we've seen logistics issues. So as these issues start to even out a little bit, right? We don't expect these things to go away anytime soon. But as these companies will be coping with this, to be finding ways to tackle these issues. And so we believe that, you know, if the auto sector picking up a little bit more, consumer confidence returning, the GDP numbers should be achievable.
Now, the other key indicator I want to look at is inflation. Now, it's only forecasted to hit 0.5% for the next year. But if we look at the rest of the world and every other major economy, they are facing decade-high inflationary pressures. Is Japan an anomaly?
It's true that Japan is a bit of an anomaly if you look at the headline numbers. And the difficulty here is with regards, again, going back to consumers, it's hard to get consumers to accept higher prices. Whenever companies raise prices, you might have seen sometimes in the news that the companies have come out and apologize. And you know, what that also means is that companies are bearing the brunt of the damage here, right? We've seen numbers like, the corporate goods price index, okay, that measures the price that corporates or companies charge each other for goods and services, right? That's up 8%. just in October. So the higher prices across the world are feeding through to Japan. It's just that companies have not fully passed on higher pricing, right? But we're starting to see that working its way into the economy, right? One company that I saw recently, a mayonnaise maker, has raised its prices by 8%. Okay. Even Tokyo Disney, again, has raised ticket prices. So these things will gradually start feeding through. It just hasn't happened as yet. So there's a bit of a time lag. And we expect that there will be some inflation, some pickup in inflation over the next year or so.
So now, meanwhile, looking specifically at markets, what should be the investment strategy for 2022 be, considering that we are quite late in the recovery cycle?
I think there are several issues that they to contend with here. At this point in the economy, there are a few things. Right, I think the first thing to keep in mind is that without a global push for vaccinations, right, we're likely to see the economy, you know, come back. You know, we'll be having a bit of a stop-start type of pace, you know, in terms of recovery, right? But at the same time, you know, what we believe that companies are good at doing, and gradually countries are also good at doing, is, you know, adapting to these changes, right? It's not easy, but, you know, people will learn to adapt. But at the same time, you know, within this mix, we've got inflation, you know, and rising rates, this also poses that issue, right? So thinking about all these, putting all these things into the mix, you know, in terms of the investment strategy, you know, we have to be cognizant of these risks, right? Mm. Inflation, what central banks are doing, and also what COVID is, what kind of impact COVID will likely have on individual companies.
So, if we were to drill down a little bit, I mean, what are the sectors you think will outperform in the new year and why? I mean, are you going more defensive, or are you going more growth, or is it value? How do you look at the stocks or the sectors, excuse me?
Yeah, I think, you know, in terms of sectors, there are a few things that we're thinking about here, right? I think the first thing is that, you know, there are some structural changes that are happening. And we want to be leveraged to these structural changes. So that includes things like tech. We've heard a lot about electronics, or we've heard a lot about semiconductors, but also tech software, right? So that's both tech hardware and software. You'll probably see some tailwind there. Similarly, you know, the world is, you know, embracing things like renewables, you know, electric vehicles. You know, these areas we find some potential opportunities as well. You know, we just heard Toyota, for instance, giving a lot more focus on EVs in the world, right? And then lastly, you know, the things that I mentioned, some of the risks that I mentioned earlier, you know, things like logistics issues, higher raw material prices, also component shortages, these are also opportunities, right? Yeah. There are risks and there are opportunities here. And some of these stocks that have been affected by these issues have been bashed down, and we're looking at evaluations starting to look a lot more attractive.
Okay.
So as these things recover, you know, we should be able to get some opportunities there.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Che Yeh Kok, Deputy Head of Asia Pacific Equities and Head of Japan Equities at Aberdeen Standard Investment, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.